Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's edition of Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover, evangelist, church planter, and missionary. Stephen is the former National Evangelism Missionary for the North American Mission Board, a former church planter, who holds a master's degree in church planting and evangelism from Liberty University. Stephen has served as a domestic missionary for over 12 years, and evangelism is something he does every day. Now here's your host, Stephen Glover.
God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome again to another episode of Evangelize for Life with your host Stephen Glover, and I'm so glad you joined me again to discuss this very important topic as to why it's so important to discuss Christ, Jesus Christ, our Lord, while evangelizing and sharing the gospel. The Bible is very clear that there's no other name under heaven and earth by which man is saved other than through the name of Jesus Christ. And so, not to get too far along, it's important that we begin to our discussion or our program by praying and asking the Lord to bless our meeting together. Lord, we just thank you for this program. Thank you for the opportunity to share the gospel. And thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who we lift up, and Lord, who we know is exalted, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who rules and reigns in heaven, and who is sovereign over our world and controlling and working all things out for our good and for his glory. We pray that our prophets, priests, and kings, Lord, that you will send your spirit and that he will empower your hosts and also the listeners. Give them ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's begin today by turning to Hebrews chapter 1, since we're going to be talking about Jesus Christ and his introduction or his work on earth, his ministry as prophet and priest and king. It's important that we begin by getting the right concept and right understanding of who Jesus is. And I think if we look in Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, Hebrews gives us a good understanding of Jesus and his role, him being God, him being an intercessor or a priest between God and man, him being a prophet, and him being, as we're going to be looking at today, prophet, priest, and king, in which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So there is a verse, actually before we get to chapter 1 and chapter 2, verse 1, that says, "For this reason we must pay close attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it." So it's easy to become forgetful, especially when it comes to hearing the Word of God when it's read. Often people pay close attention to it. So I'm asking you to tune in to these verses and what it actually says so that you be not a hearer only but a doer, that you're not a forgetful hearer. You are willing to not only hear but obey what thus says Lord. And these words are so very important because they are God's words. It is the Word of God. It is God-breathed. It is inspired. And so that is why we pay close attention to it, because even every time it's read, it is God speaking to us. And so beginning in verse 1, it says, "God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways." So God revealed himself to the prophets, to the men of God, who were 40 different authors, 3 different languages, on 3 different continents. God revealed himself. And it says, in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So here we see God revealing his Son as ruler, as king. And verse 3 says, he is the radiance and the radiance of his glory and exact representation of his nature, and uphold all things by the word of his power. So Jesus is revealed God to men. And here again we see his role as a prophet, because the prophets always revealed God to man. And so here, creator, prophet, as we continue to read, it says, when he has made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Priest, Jesus purified, made atoned, he atoned. He was the satisfaction of God through his sacrifice, where God was willing to forgive mankind for his sins, because Jesus paid those sin debts on the cross. And he says, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. It says, for to which of the angels did he ever say, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee? So he never said that about angels, only about his begotten son. He said, well done. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. So we know that only Jesus has been revealed throughout Scripture as being the Son of God. Also it says, and again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. Now the firstborn is not dealing with someone who is actually birthed. This is dealing with someone who is actually in rank and honor and majesty, someone who is eminent above all things. So the Jehovah's Witnesses kind of get this look confused, and even some of the other people who think that he is created, no, this is dealing with preeminence of Jesus. He's ruler, he's king, master, Lord, Savior. He also says, and let all the angels of God worship him. So we're dealing directly, only God is to be worshipped. There is no other God, according to Scripture, and there's no God beside the one true God. So obviously there's one God, and he's referring now to the Son being God. And the angels, he said, who makes his angels wind, and his ministers a flaming of fire, but a Son said, thy throne, here we go, thy throne, O God, said, is forever and ever, meaning referring to Jesus. Good verse when sharing the gospel, refer to particular chapter in the book of Hebrews that refers to Jesus as God. That is a big controversy, not for believers, but for unbelievers, because they refuse to acknowledge Jesus as God. So he continues to say, but of the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and thy righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. So here's some a revelation of the scepter that represents ruler, king. So we're looking at him as prophet, priest, king, ruler, majestic, Christ's kingdom. So he's going to one day rule over his kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy companions. And thou, Lord, is the beginning, didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. Still referring to Jesus, the creator. Colossians chapter 1 talks about Jesus being the creator. Verse 11, they will perish, but thou remainest, and they will become old as garments, and as a mantle thou will roll them up, as a garment they will be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years will not come to an end. Dealing with God being, he's Alpha, Omega, he doesn't have a beginning. But he says in verse 13, but to the which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies a footstool for thy feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation, referring to the angels in this case, because those who are born again, based on this verse, they are assigned at least some one angel. And this is, I believe, where people get guardian angels from, or those angels or beings that watch over them. So that is scriptural, and you do find that in the Bible. But getting back to our topic today, and I just wanted to highlight that because you see the three points we're going to look at, prophet, priest, and king, because we know that when you look at the prophet, priest, king, we see that that fits who Christ is. It reveals the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the Logos. It reveals that as a prophet, he reveals the Father. Jesus said to Philip, no man has seen the Father, or have you not, you know, he said to Philip, have you, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Philip said, you know, show us the Father, show us. And he said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. So we know that as a prophet, he reveals the Father to the people. And then as one other thing to look at, or just to even synthesize real quick, Son of Mary, we know that he's the Lamb that is often referred to, but he's also referred to as the Son of Abraham, which is the promised seed. He's also referred to as the Son of David, the King. So Christ is prophet, priest, king, and these offices and these functions are very significant because, again, as I mentioned, as a prophet, he reveals God to us. As priest, he reconciles God to us, meaning that it was through the sacrifice and atonement of Jesus Christ on the cross, as he bore our sin on the body, that the Bible tells us that we've been reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. And then also as king, he's going to rule over his creation, the very creation that we read about there in Hebrews chapter 1, where it talks about that he made the world, in verse 2, he made the world, that is the creation that the Bible talks about. He rules over. Now, he hasn't established his final rule yet because he's still ushering in people to the kingdom. He's still allowing people to choose, to decide, and even today, you have a choice to choose Christ. He's not going to force his way on you. He gives you the opportunity to be saved. Remember, you think about prophets, they preach the word of God. Priests, they represent it, man to God. And we know that king, we're dealing with Jesus and him ruling over creation. So let me encourage you, if you want to join in on the conversation today, you can call 646-200-4203. It's important that we look at and continue to look at Christ as prophet, priest, and king. But when you think about him as a prophet, Jesus considered himself to be a prophet. He said that a prophet is without honor in his own hometown in Matthew 13:57, because he came to his own family. His family didn't believe him. He came to his own people. His people didn't believe him. He came to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, and they didn't believe him. So you look throughout Scripture, people called him a prophet. He identified himself as being a prophet. People called him a prophet from, said he was from Nazareth in Matthew 21:11 and John 6:14 and John 7:40. The disciples, his disciples on the Emmaus Road called him a prophet. That is in Luke 24:19. And his enemies even tried to refute the idea that he was a prophet. That's in John 7:52. So we see at these points here that there is confirmation throughout Scripture regarding the identity of Jesus. And he was not only a priest, prophet, king. And here are examples of Jesus referring to himself or other people referring to him as being a prophet. when you think about even his prophetic ministry, you know, Jesus fulfilled the prophets that were the prophecy that was emphasized in the Old Testament. Peter cites the prophecy of Moses as being fulfilled in Christ. So where it talks about out of his own nation that there was forth a prophet in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. Well, we read that in Acts 2:22, where Peter refers to Jesus being that fulfillment of prophecy. He's linked to or he's linked as the successor of Moses, as well as Abraham and David and all the different scriptures or scripture references that refer to Jesus fulfilling, ruling, son of David, ruling on David's throne, that the sea will bless the multitude, that is referring to Jesus. And so these are just some of the prophecies that were fulfilled. Even Jesus as prophet and Christ is very unique when you think about there was no other individual, and I'm talking about Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, who fulfilled prophecy or fulfilled the word of God the way that Jesus did. It says, the Bible tells us in John 1:8 that he is the only begotten. We read in Hebrews 1 something very similar. So who alone has seen God, according to John 1:18? So no man has seen God other than the man Christ Jesus. And we also know, as a prophet, as a son of man, he came down from heaven, and his mission and his message is being to seek and save the lost. He pre-existed before Abraham. You know, when we think about Jesus and these offices we're referring to, it reveals his deity. It reveals that he's God. Even the pre-existence of Jesus before Abraham was in John 8, Jesus says, I am. So this is unique. No other false prophet can say that. No other religious man can say, before Abraham I was. Before, you know, the world was formed, you know, Jesus understood, and the Bible teaches that he existed. And he also is unique in that we to see him and to see the Father. And I mentioned that earlier in John 14, that when people saw Jesus, they saw the Father. The attributes, the characteristics, you know, those were, Jesus intentionally revealed those things to the people. So he is also similar to the Old Testament prophets. When you think about a prophet like Ezekiel and Isaiah, Jeremiah, these men pronounced judgment. And we see the same thing Jesus in Matthew 11, 20. We see Jesus pronouncing judgment. He pronounced judgment on the nation of Israel because of their unwillingness to come to him. He proclaimed the good news, Matthew 13, or even in John chapter 4, I believe, where he said that, Luke 4, where he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and God has anointed me to preach the gospel, to restore the sight to the blind, to heal the brokenhearted, and even to preach the good news. So we know that Jesus preached the good news. He preached comfort. You know, the prophets of old preached comfort if their people would repent. God would restore them. God would liberate them. I think about, was it Daniel that was reading one of the Old Testament books, maybe, and he read that while in captivity, that after 70 years, Israel would be liberated from the bondage, and it was close to that, maybe 67 years he had been in captivity, and not long, he knew that liberation and freedom would come, their restoration. So we know that the Old Testament men preached comfort, and Jesus did the same thing. He says also his style included rich imagery and parables. And think about even the Old Testament, the vineyard in Isaiah 5, and Jesus refers to the vine branches and the vineyard in Matthew 21. So even when you think about Jesus and when he fulfilled his role as a prophet, as a priest, as a king, it is all parallel or linked or coincides with the Old Testament. So he fulfilled the old and the new. It doesn't look like we're going to get through all this today, but we also know Jesus as Christ and King. He is ruler. He is the promised son of David who would inherit his throne. And Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 talks us out his rulership, mighty God, wonderful counselor. And the world was sit upon his shoulders. And so Jesus would inherit his throne. And we read Hebrews 1:8, where it talks about the Son who says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, the throne of God, that is the promise, Christ Jesus, where he will rule." And this reign is more than just future. He reigns over the universe from creation. Colossians 1:17 says that all things are held together by him. Rules over the church today. Some people think the Pope and the Catholic Church is the head of the church. No. Colossians 1:18 says Christ is the head of the church. Let me turn to that real quick. I said Colossians 1:18. And the Bible says in Colossians 1:18 that he is the head of the body, the church. So it's not Peter, the first Pope, it's not the current Pope, whoever that may be, but it's Christ. He is the head of the church. He rules over his church today. He, even though there is a false church that he has no part of, because a lot of people confuse the false church with the true church, but he has his remnant. He has the body of Christ. In the church, in the building, there are a lot of false prophets, false converts, false teachers, but the true church is as pure. It is still the bride. It is still obedient to Christ, the true church, not the false church. So a lot of people get that confused. So he still rules over his church, those obedient to Christ, submitting to Christ, obeying Christ. You know, God still rules and reigns. He has also already been exalted with the name that's above every name. And you know that Philippians 2, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And everybody that's a true follower of Christ, everybody that's a true believer, has already bowed the knee and has already confessed Christ as Lord. So in evangelism, some of these things that we're talking about, prophet, priest, king, and we talk about lordship, that Jesus is not just Savior, he's Lord. And if you're truly born again, he is Lord, he is ruler, he is master over your life. And I don't have time to really go into some quotes from Walter J. Chenery in today's gospel. Is it authentic or synthetic? But he deals with this topic. He deals with Jesus Christ being Lord and him being Savior, him being ruler. And he quotes, and this is a quote from his book, "Thus we read Jesus' gracious invitation, 'Come follow me.' God incarnated condescends tenderly to the beck, a rebel who loves money more than him. Come. The invitation is given to a poor sinner who has fallen into temptation and its snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. To a lawbreaker, the Savior's call, 'Come. Believe on me. Give me your mind, your love, and your obedience.'" So he's clearly saying that his lordship is love, mind, obedience. Love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Now, not to get away, what we were talking about, we were also mentioning that Christ is priest. We talked about prophet, we talked about king. He's priest, he's reconciler. He's the Lamb of God, similar to the lamb, the bulls, the goats that were sacrificed in the Old Testament that reconciled man with God, that temporarily atoned for their sins, but the final atonement came through Jesus Christ. He is the mercy seat. He is the propitiation. He is the high priest. He is the high priest. You look at John 17 where he is praying and interceding for his disciples before his ascension to the Father, because he had permission his disciples to fulfill the Great Commission to preach the gospel. And so we talked about that the son of perdition had perished according to Scripture, but he prayed for and interceded for his disciples. We know that he is the intercessor according to Hebrews 7:25. He ever lives to make intercession. So Jesus, you can go to Christ Jesus. You can pray to Christ Jesus as believers and intercede for us, but also as an unbeliever, confessing your sin, repenting of your sin, asking Jesus Christ to save you, to be your intercessor, because the Bible says there's no other mediator between God and man other than the man Jesus Christ. He sees our case on the base of his righteousness. He will forgive you. He will give you his righteousness in exchange his righteousness for your sin. And he prayed for our protection from the evil one, because we know the Bible says that Satan has come to steal, to kill, to destroy. So Jesus intercedes on our behalf. As he said of Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but he says, I prayed for you, Peter. And we know that, that Peter was had moments of weakness, had moments of doubt, had moments of denial to certain things, but he was restored, and then he ministered, he fed, he led the group of the disciples after Jesus' ascension. So obviously, as a high priest, he stands in the gap for us too. And so we can come boldly before the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in our time of need because of the ministry, the priesthood, the reconciliation that took place on the cross. And that reconciliation for anyone who is willing to receive and to trust in Jesus Christ and him only. There's no other name under heaven and earth by which man is saved. And I quoted that earlier. Scripture in John 14:6 tells us that Jesus said, I'm the way and I'm the truth and I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And the Bible, John 1, tells us those who receive him, to them he has given the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So it's clear that that throughout Scripture that Jesus is the reconciler. He is the priest. We don't have a whole lot of time, but let me just state some of the works of Christ. He's pre-existent in his glory state. He's incarnate in his kinesthetic state. He ascended, his ascended resurrection state. He is pre-existent in his glory state. From the beginning, he's God. As the Son, he is with God. He is an active agent in creation. As the Son, he executes God's plan. From eternity, he sustains all things. His patterns of the Old Testament sacrificial system after he planned work of redemption. He is incarnate, and as I mentioned earlier, and so we don't have a whole lot of time. I just wanted to just thank you for tuning in to Evangelize for Life. If you do not know Jesus Christ, clearly, just listen. He is prophet, he is priest, he is king, and as we began our program, that he is God eternal. And through his sacrifice on the cross, through his incarnation where he took on human flesh, he came in order that you might be saved. If you're willing to repent, turn away from Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible clearly tells us that you will be saved. Thank you once again for trusting and turning into and tuning into Evangelize for Life. We appreciate it and ask you to join me again tomorrow for another episode of Evangelize for Life. May God bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you.